In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we are getting close. We're getting close to the celebration of Holy Pascha. Lent has been going on for a number of weeks. We're about to enter into our sixth week, and then we have Great and Holy Week, and then Radiant Pascha. At this time in our Lenten journey, this ascent up the mountain of repentance, we might feel a little bit tired, a little bit exhausted, a little bit spent. And the Church knows this. The Church knows this very well. And the Church, realizing that we are tired, that we are exhausted, gives us a special commemoration today. We'll speak about this in just a moment. I want to share with you that I myself this past week felt very tired, very exhausted. I had decided, not really of my own volition, but I had spent a day and a half in bed. Didn't get out of bed, just lie there. Called Father Daniel, I asked him to serve for me. Told my wife that I can't keep the house anymore and watch the kids all day. She's going to have to do something. Just, obviously, I'm joking. Not about the day and a half in bed, though. What hit me this week was the virus that has hit a lot of you during this Lenten period. And I lie there in bed, really exhausted, really tired. The fever, chills. And I thought to myself, as Father Daniel was serving the Presanctified Liturgy, how good it was to have someone who had my back in Father Daniel. How good it was to have someone in my wife who had my back with the children and the house. And she has it all the time, not just when I'm sick. You know, how good it is to have this community that we have before us, to strengthen us when we're weak, to lift us up, to inspire us. You know, one of the things that I thought about as we're approaching Pascha and I'm feeling sick in bed, think about all the stuff that has to be done. You know, this past Saturday, just yesterday, we had a work day, and to see some six families represented coming out to pick up the grounds, to help clean the hall and the chapel, to do what needs to be done was like a shot in the arm. It really was. Because everything begins to weigh on us at this point in the fast. Life is difficult, and it's even harder in the fast. But as a community, we're able to lift one another up, to bear each other's burdens, to inspire one another to fight the good fight, to run the race, to complete the fast. The Church gives us today the example of St. Mary of Egypt. St. Mary has a feast day, actually, on April 1st. We celebrated her feast day this past week. The Church also appoints, at the last reading of the Canon of St. Andrew, the Canon of Repentance, for the life of St. Mary to be read in its entirety. It's a lengthy life. It took maybe 30 minutes to read that life during already a lengthy service. And we read that this past week. But the Church also appoints this Sunday in remembrance of St. Mary of Egypt. So 3 days this week we remember St. Mary of Egypt. And we won't recap her whole life, but we'll just outline her life in bullet points. St. Mary was from Egypt, and at the age of 12, she left her parents' home. It's not clear why she left. But at this young, tender age of 12, she left. And she went to the city of Alexandria. And there she lived a life of great sin. She lived a life of profligacy, prostitution, terrible sin. She would say of herself that no one sins greater than her. That she gave her body for others, not just for money, but even to corrupt them. She sought people that she could corrupt. She became sinful and an agent of sin. An event happened in her life. She saw pilgrims from Alexandria going to the holy city of Jerusalem. And she decided that she would go too. And she paid for her fare on the boat the way that she had normally done. Even in the holy city, she tried to pollute people. And she saw all the crowds then going to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre to venerate the life-giving cross of the Lord. And she herself wanted to go. She came to the church and she tried to enter into the church. And there were great crowds pressing into the church, but she couldn't enter. She couldn't get across the threshold of the church. And she thought, well, it must be the crowds. I'll wait a little bit. And she tried again, couldn't get in. Tried again, couldn't get in. And then something dawned on her. That what was holding her back wasn't the crowds. It was her way of life. It was her sin. That her sin was holding her back. Her sin was holding her back from venerating the life-giving cross of the Lord. And she turned to an icon of the Mother of God and she asked, in tears, she asked the Mother of God to help her. That she would change her life if only she could enter the church and venerate the life-giving cross of the Lord. And this she was granted. She was granted the help of the Mother of God. She entered into the church instead of trying to force her way, it's as if the crowds opened for her. And she venerated the cross. And then she came back afterwards to the icon of the Mother of God and said, "What must I do?" And she heard a voice, and the voice said, "If you wish to find peace, go across the Jordan." Now, St. Mary, again, was from Egypt. She was now in Jerusalem, and she was told to go across the Jordan River into the desert, a place that was uninhabited, where nobody dwelt. The monks during the Lenten period would go out there for their 40-day struggle and then return to the monastery. But the only thing out there in the desert were the animals, wild beasts, except the one who was everywhere filling all things, God himself. And Mary made this journey. She went across the Jordan River. And there she spent some 17 years in struggle, trying to establish new habits, to break those old habits. She would recount in her life that she told to St. Zosima that she was 12 when she went to Alexandria. And then for 17 years, she lived in sin. And then for 17 years, she struggled in this wilderness. And after those 17 years, she felt a peace that she couldn't even imagine. The scriptures call it the peace that surpasses understanding. She had this wonderful peace and this light and this joy in her life because she was cleansed of her sin. She was reunited to God. And even though she was in the wilderness, she was in paradise. And she spent then 30 years in that state, living in this bliss, where before she had experienced such a torturous existence. Elder Zosimus was one of those monks that went out during the 40 days, and he met St. Mary, and he spoke with her. St. Mary related her life, and St. Mary asked Elder Zosimus for something. She asked that he bring her Holy Communion, that she be able to partake of the body and blood of Christ, that this is what she lacked in the wilderness. And Elder Zosimus brings her the Holy Mysteries, and after receiving the Holy Mysteries, she reposes. This life of St. Mary is given to us for a number of reasons. The first reason is to inspire us. Because in the life of St. Mary, we see this great struggle, and we see this great victory. You see somebody who practiced their faith in Christ even though all the odds were against her. She not only had lived a life of sin, but even when she sought to go to the church to venerate the cross, she wasn't able to. She must have thought that even God had turned his back on her. And yet she realized, though, something so powerful, that God turns his back on no one. It's we who turn our back on him. And if we're willing to repent, to turn from our way, that we can live. We can have life as it was meant to be. This is inspiring for us. St. Mary is an example that it can be done no matter what we have done. No matter what we have become, we can be changed. We sing in the hymnology that this harlot, the sinful woman, through repentance became a bride of Christ. Think about that. A bride of Christ. Right? That Christ saw it fit to be united to her. That she was purifying, she was sanctifying. She was united to God Himself, becoming a bride of Christ. One of the other things that St. Mary inspires us with, the knowledge that not only can it be done, but it is also worth doing. It is also worth doing. You know, sometimes we think, well, these kind of things can be done, and some people set their minds to it, they set their heart after it, they accomplish it, but is it really worth it? Is it really worth 17 years of struggle for St. Mary? Is it worth the struggle that I'm going to have to put in to change who I've become? St. Mary tells us, absolutely. Absolutely is it worth it. 30 years of paradise after her struggle. You know, we sing also in the hymnology for St. Mary that she teaches us to despise the things of the flesh because they are temporary. They are fading away. But to care for the things of the soul since they are immortal. St. Mary spent her younger years enveloped in the things of the flesh. And yet, they're passing away. The things of sin, they're coming to an end. Pleasure-seeking, pride, greed, lust, all of these passions that the world seeks after, they're coming to an end. And if we don't think the world will ever come to an end, we at least will realize that we are coming to an end, right? That there is going to be an end to our life where these things don't exist anymore for us. They're gone. They're passing. They're fading away. They're temporary. They're not worth our investment. They're not worth giving our soul for. What does the Lord say? Even if you gain all of that, you gain the whole world. What does it mean if you've lost your soul? St. Mary decided to give up all of that and to seek the one thing needful, her repentance, the kingdom of Christ, the betterment of her soul. So St. Mary tells us that it's possible, and not only is it possible, but it's worth it. Brothers and sisters, as we conclude our 40 days, and they end this week, Saturday and Sunday are days of festive joy. Lazarus Saturday, coming up this week. Palm Sunday, next Sunday. And then we enter into Holy Week. These are the last days in the 40. These are the last days for us to make our repentance, to set aside the temple, set aside the things of the passions, of the flesh, to seek after the things of the soul, to seek after the things of the kingdom, to seek after the King of the kingdom. St. Mary inspires us. You all, this past week, have inspired me, gotten me up off my bed of laziness, kind of got me going again. And this inspiration comes from our commitment to Christ, to doing what is extraordinary, to making that push, to kicking on our final lap, to the fight into the 10th round, and when we're knocked down, to get back up. You know, to do all of those things to the very end. This is the last week, brothers and sisters. Let us come together. Let us do the extraordinary. Let us follow the example of St. Mary, who shows us that not only is it possible, but it is worth it. Glory to Jesus Christ. Glory to God.